from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Little tapper. Harris will spin and throw, and that'll do it. The Astros couldn't score in the 10th and the 11th, and then they only score one in the 12th after the A's scored two in the top half. Frustrating loss tonight to start this series against the Oakland A's.
Yeah, frustrating. You get buried under a sea of bunts in the top of the 12th. That is frustrating. But
death by a thousand small ball cuts.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Bunt cuts. But the good news is the Mariners still suck at baseball. This is
they don't though, Sean.
Huh?
They're the Mariners.
The Mariners.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the A's.
No,
all right.
No. The Mariners suck. So they lost last night. They got blown out by the Padres last night.
The A's are way better than the Mariners at this point.
Oh, yeah.
The A's have been a winning baseball team since June. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So welcome in, everybody, on a Wednesday. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Good to be with you. We're with you till 10 a.m. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. So the requisite welcome into the show. I don't know, man. It's weird because throughout this multi-year reign of dominance the Astros have had. Last year was the first time there was really any sort of race that the Astros were in. You know what I mean? Like, most of the time, the division, because the division's been so bad and the Astros have been so good, September has largely, over the last 8 years, been a month to kind of kick our feet up on the desk and figure out who they might be playing and get the rotation all set up, get healthy, all those things. Last year they were fighting for survival last year, which was, it was fun considering how it ended up. This race here, I don't know what to make of it, man. Like, I feel like the Astros are playing okay baseball. They've got some issues in the, you know, Verlander's an issue right now. They got Tucker back. The outfield can't hit. We'll see if now that Tucker's back, they'll get some punch from the outfield. But this is like, I don't know, man. This is like a horse race, and the Astros are like galloping. They're, you know, galloping like a pony at the 4-H fair, and the other horses chasing them all have three legs.
I think that I don't know. I mean, this is what baseball is. It's like the good teams tend to be 500 teams, punctuated with a few nice stretches. And the Astros just dug themselves an incredible hole early in the season to where, if they hadn't been so abysmally bad, like I feel totally comfortable giving this excuse. It was just such a weird freak thing that they were as bad as they were. They would have a much healthier lead. If they had just been normally bad or normally slumping, they would have a much better lead right now. Yeah. And you look at, I mean, just honestly, look across the entire league. Yankees in the last 10 games, 4-6. Orioles, 5-5. Guardians, 6-4. Astros, 5-5. Like, that's what it's just it's the doldrums that you get into in August and early September. They just need to either close it out playing 500 baseball for the rest of the month or have one more little burst. They're 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position last night.
Yeah.
An absurd number.
Yeah, no, that's
part
bad.
Of that's with the extra innings that changes, you know.
Still. You know, like, I don't know how many they had in extra innings. You get at least, there's one, you start with a runner in scoring position in extra innings. I guess maybe reframe it. Usually when you're in a division race like this, because it's 4.5 games, and they were behind and then jumped ahead with two good months of baseball. Like, I guess last year it was fun because we were scoreboard watching every night. You know, like, I was, yeah. like, I guess here's what I'm trying to say. Like, the Astros lose, and I'm like, okay, well, whatever. The Mariners are going to lose also. Like, there's no juice to it. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, there's no, I don't feel any pit in my stomach over the Astros losing that game last night. Because the Mariners suck. You know, like, it's just, it's, they're going to make, the Astros are going to make the playoffs, which is great. I kind of enjoyed last September where there was like anxiety going into every night. You know, you felt that kind of playoff rush. You got an extra like 3 weeks of it last year, you know? Like maybe I'm a drug addict. You know what I mean?
You're a little bit of an addict, I think, because it wasn't, there's nothing about me like that felt great about the Rangers helping the Astros get into the playoffs last year.
I just like the games all meaning something. You know what I mean?
The Astros did nothing to actually earn the playoff spot more substantially.
That's
it was
true.
More so about the Rangers
getting down the stretch.
Where I get like, I know. It doesn't make for a great narrative or anything. But as long as you can cruise along at 500 and have one little burst here at the end at some point in the next few weeks, that's what you're waiting for is the burst. Chaz McCormick is hitting the fastball again. There you go. There's your little dose of optimism and positivity.
No, I'm positive about it. I'm not negative about the Astros.
You hate everything.
No, you're
as pessimistic as they could be.
I'm not negative about the Astros. I'm just this race is just kind of blah for me is all. Like, if anything, I'm positive about the Astros. I'm like, come on, Mariners. Put a little pressure on us here. Make it mean something.
No, the biggest thing is I think the biggest problem is that we've lowered our expectations and standards, and it hasn't in terms of, you're in the playoffs, where it should be, wow, you're making a push for the second seed.
Yeah.
You know? And there's the push for the second seed is it's not there. A burst right now would give you that a realistic shot at actually getting out of the wild card round, avoiding all that randomness, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I've got no nervousness. I guess my point is, at least if there's no nervousness in September, I wish they were winning 105 games. You know what I mean? Like, I wish it was because they were super good. But the Mariners are, God, they're just awful. They're god-awful. Like, I go to bed at night, the Astros lose. I'm like, it's no problem. The Mariners are going to lose.
I don't. Yeah, they're four. Like they're playing 500 baseball over the last 10 games. If the Astros had just been, if they could make a push here and recapture some ground on either the Guardians or the Orioles or whomever else, like there's an actual race going on between three teams right now: the Yankees, the Orioles, and the Guardians in terms of being the first or second seed. And the Astros are largely sitting that out, and it's annoying.
Do we know what their record is on Hello Kitty night?
And really the Royals too. I forgot the Royals are right up there.
Yeah. Hello Kitty night last night. Do we know what the record is?
I listened to this game almost exclusively, but I just saw one little blip of them going in on a Hello Kitty something or other. So I don't know. I honestly, this isn't me trying to act like Joe Macho or anything. I have zero clue what Hello Kitty is or means or anything other than the little picture of it. Like, is it based on a cartoon or what?
I don't know.
Text line, let me know exactly what Hello Kitty is all about.
Text in, yeah.
Like, what's its origin?
I guess at the game last night, the giveaway was like a backpack or something. So usually
a Hello Kitty backpack.
I think so. And I if I remember correctly, they make one of the younger players like walk around with the Hello Kitty, but like the veteran players do. Like that's kind of a hazing thing. You got to walk around with the Hello Kitty backpack on. I don't know if they
did
that.
The veteran players make the younger players.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, on the Astros. Like they got to wear the Hello Kitty backpack. So anyways, I'll be glad when the regular season is over because we don't have to play with these extra inning rules anymore. I feel like that gives the Astros like a 10% better chance of winning games that get into extra innings we don't have to do the ghost runner thing where you got a team like the A's that are probably bunting is one of the best things they do is, you know, bunting the baseball, and the Astros can't move squat over from second base.
And the explanation for the Astros not bunting, it's hard to, like, Bregman's only got one successful bunt in his entire career, I think. Caratini doesn't have a whole load of bunts. But it's kind of like saying, I don't know, telling your wife, like, well, I don't do that thing in bed because I never do it. Like, okay, great. Like, you're not, I understand you're not bunting here. It would be cool if you could, though.
Yeah.
I feel like Bregman seems like the day back in the 1980s, Bregman would probably be one of the best punters in all the land.
Oh, when it was the thing to do.
If he worked at it.
Yeah.
So it's just, I get it and I understand it. Usually I want to be the annoying know-it-all that's like, well, listen, it's not so easy to bunt. But there is a part of me now that small ball has come back in a lot of ways with the rule changes. And I'm like, well, all right, could you spend a couple hours in the offseason working on it maybe? Go to a watch an online YouTube clinic or
There's
something?
A lot of YouTubes out there. C.J. Stroud taught himself how to play quarterback from YouTube. You can learn how to bunt from YouTube, okay?
Yeah. There's no excuse to not know how to do much everything anymore because you could go do it on YouTube.
That's right.
Seth, why can't... Seth, go fix that submarine. I don't know how to. Oh, you don't have internet access?
What's the craziest thing that you've learned how to do from YouTube? Like
mostly my HVAC stuff.
Okay.
HVACR almost.
So you learned how to repair your air. You learned
almost went into the refrigeration part of it, but when it comes into actually cutting into ductwork, I get nervous. It's like the first time a medical student or a resident probably has to cut into an artery or something.
That's
I don't know about this.
That's really good. You learned how to fix your HVAC from a YouTube video.
Well, during
huh?
COVID, it was so hard to get service people at times.
Yeah.
I said, well, screw this. I'm going to go do it myself.
Wow.
And it was. I learned some good stuff. You know what I've learned more than anything over the years, Sean, in home ownership? And I know this is not advice that you're going to maybe even hear, absorb, or definitely not use, is how smart you can get just by reading the manual of an appliance.
The font is way too small.
You can be way smarter than a lot of service people just simply by reading the manual, because
we go to break.
There's actual information in there. YouTube is one thing, but look, this manual that tells you exactly how it's supposed to work.
That sounds terrible. Reading the manual. Ugh.
That's where I get my wife and I, that's where our classic gender roles get reversed. She refuses to read the instructions. She'll ask me for help for something. I'm like, did you save the instruction pamphlet? And she's like, no. Download the PDF online, bitch. That's what she says to me every time. Yeah.
So now anytime you buy something, she walks over and taunts you just by ripping the manual up as soon as the box opens.
Yeah.
Here we go. Or lights it on fire. like Goodwill Hunting, lighting the math equations on fire.
Yeah. I've got zero qualms about asking for directions when I'm driving or anything. And she's the exact opposite.
Really?
What do you, are you going to go ask the guy? You're going to go ask the person who's lived in this town his whole life how to get somewhere?
Yeah.
Buddy, what a wimp are you? Called me a wimp. B-word. Excuse my language, kids. Don't use that language unless you're my wife talking to me.
Right. I still get, fixing an air conditioner using YouTube. I used YouTube yesterday to learn how to do all caps on my video captions on Splice. I thought I was a man. But you fixing your air conditioner using YouTube.
You did. Your video editing is impressive. I watched your little...
My game time thingy? Yeah, thanks. Taught myself. I haven't even gone to the Apple store and sat down or anything like that yet. Because I'm going to be dangerous. Yeah.
That's what all these kids that are so good at editing. That's my old brain when I started to try to learn some video editing. And you're like, what did you have to take an online class or something? You just watch a bunch of tutorials. Watch tutorials.
Very intuitive.
Go to your little Adobe or whatever and watch the tutorials.
Very intuitive. All right. We are off and running. The latest on the Deshaun Watson situation, we'll have that for you. It's been, anybody who says that the NFL isn't the best reality show on TV has not been watching week one of the NFL season so far. It's been bananas. We will get to that as well here in the 6 o'clock hour. Off and running on a Wednesday, it's Payne and Pendergast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Seth, I'll answer your question you asked me off the air 30 seconds ago right now, because I think it is of interest to our audience. We'll get to the latest on the Deshaun Watson situation in just a second. It feels weird to say that again, that there's a Deshaun Watson situation.
Yeah.
I know. We won't beat it to death, but I think there's been a little bit of chatter around Deshaun yesterday. The spread on the game this Sunday at NRG Stadium, Sunday Night Football, 7:15 kick. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. 4:15.
You know,
Texans countdown. Spread has moved from 6.5 to 7. So the money's like last week. Money is coming in on the Texans right
now. I think at the very least, and I'm honestly surprised that it hasn't moved a little bit more. It was already a healthy spread, but just going back and watching the Bears in Week One, look, it's easy to try to pile on Caleb Williams. He's a rookie. I do think for a guy that claimed on Hard Knocks that he's never nervous, never gets nervous. He looked a little bit nervous. Yeah, I mean, he was airmailing some footballs. It wasn't. He looked like a nervous rookie in some respects, or maybe amped up. His heart rate was definitely not. It didn't look like calm, cool, and collected Tom Brady in his prime or anything.
No.
But he also is dealing with an interior offensive line that was atrocious in that game versus the Titans.
Ooh,
now, maybe,
I like that.
Maybe the Titans are just hell on wheels, and the Astros are going to have to deal with it too. But they were bad. I mean, there's a lot of things about that offense. Sean, talk about a rookie quarterback who spent his career out of shotgun almost exclusively, and what's it going to be like transitioning to the NFL? C.J. Stroud did a good job playing under center. They were barely under center at all, and when they were under center, when Caleb Williams was under center, the offense was just pathetic. Caleb Williams was 1 for 4, and I think the pass, it might have been that one that was like a near interception that ricocheted off, and then the receiver caught the ball and then lost it again.
Oh, jeez. That was one of his
comedy of errors.
Jeez.
It was so, because I'm watching. I watched the first time through to try to get a feel for everything, and I'm like, are they really just sitting this rookie back in the gun and not really utilizing much of an RPO game or anything, and they're just expecting him to carve up a defense?
Wow.
Like a Titans defense that I think could be a respectable defense this year. That's what they're doing. They're just the biggest thing I worry about in this game is that the Bears offer Bobby Slowick next year's head coaching job at halftime.
It's funny.
And it's a distraction to Bobby Slowick.
Yeah.
It was really bad by the Bears offense. Not just Caleb Williams, but the whole shebang was bad.
Neither of us picked Eberflus in our first coach fired.
That was dumb.
Death pool. Yeah. For those who missed it, Seth and I did our annual head coach death pool last week, where we each pick, four head coaches, with the goal being to try to get within our four, have the first one who gets fired during the season. Seth picked Nick Sirianni, Brian Daboll, Robert Saleh, Sean McDermott. I think all good picks. I picked Todd Bowles, Kevin Stefanski, Dennis Allen, and Antonio Pierce. I feel okay about my four. If Caleb Williams, if we get to like the midway point of the season, and more importantly, the Bears are losing football games, and Caleb Williams looks like he's going nowhere, there may be just sort of a sacrificial lamb kind of thing. I don't know. Like I don't know if I'm feeling Eberflus long term for the Chicago Bears.
I think if you've got a defensive minded head coach and your rookie quarterback doesn't live up to expectations, then it's almost a guaranteed that you're going to get out. And owners have kind of started pumping the brakes a little bit on being super aggressive in their coaching searches.
Yep.
It's not even like a dastardly plan or anything. I think the owners collectively feel like, look, if we're going to, for one, if things are getting a little out of hand with how much dead money you're being paid to coaches here and there, but also want to be sure we're genuinely giving candidates a chance to go through the interview process.
Yeah.
I could see the Bears saying just, all right, CJ Stroud did things absurdly well by rookie standards. Let's just go ahead and pluck away the offensive coordinator that was there.
Yeah.
And I'm joking about them offering him the job at halftime, but definitely thinking hard about Slowick being the guy. If the Texans perform well versus the Bears, and if Caleb Williams, and I'll say it, it's not just Caleb Williams, it's the offense in its entirety. You got to help your rookie quarterback out, and I don't think they did it by the run game. They didn't do it by play calling. They didn't do it by formation and all of those things. And who knows if Caleb Williams is going to be good this season or ever, but they got it wasn't a good start for
them. Dude, sometimes it's the deals you don't make. The Texans were reportedly in on Keenan Allen before the Stephon Diggs trade got made. You know, they remember the Chargers chose to send Keenan Allen to the Bears for a fourth-round pick. And I forget what the reports were, but the Texans were in on Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen banged up again, reportedly overweight coming into the season. If they make the Keenan Allen trade, the Stephon Diggs trade probably never happens, right? I mean, because then you've got Collins, Dell, and Keenan Allen. There's no reason to go trade a two to go get Stephon Diggs. Diggs looks like Diggs, you know?
I think a lot of the stuff that they were doing in that game where they were trying to help Caleb Williams out, it looked a little bit like they were trying to force the ball to Keenan Allen on some of the shorter stuff.
Yeah.
But Keenan Allen doesn't. He doesn't have the same bag that he used to when
pop,
it comes to
man.
Just getting quick or getting separation quickly and immediately.
Yep.
So, yeah, that might have worked out really well. Yeah. I don't know. Six of one, half dozen of the other. After the Thursday night game last week, I was kind of thinking like, oh boy, wow, Saquon Barkley could have been pretty damn scary. But then Joe Mixon comes in and he's not the same guy Saquon Barkley is, but there are some things Mixon does better than Barkley. Barkley, by far, more explosive and everything, but in terms of just grinding yardage out routinely, Mixon's a more consistent back than Saquon Barkley is.
That's a good way to look at it, Seth. I think if you look at Barkley and Mixon in week one, they both had A-plus games playing their style of game, right? That was an A-plus Saquon Barkley game. Caught the ball out of the backfield for a touchdown, over 100 yards rushing, got into the end zone. This was an A-plus Mixon game, grinding out yards. Longest run was 13 yards, and he grinded out 160 yards on the ground, scored a touchdown, big carries at the end of game to close out the game. I think what the A-plus version of Mixon provides is what the Texans need more. They have plenty of explosiveness on offense, you know what I mean? Like, they need what Mixon's best game brings more than they need what Saquon's best game brings.
Right, which isn't, it's not, I'm not sitting here acting like, wow, that version of Saquon Barkley wouldn't really work on the
Texans. Oh, I'd love to have it.
Yeah, it's not a, I'm saying, all right, like, if you think about what might have been, all right, well, I don't feel that bad about Saquon Barkley if Mixon can continue to play like this.
Correct.
But
yes.
The difference between Diggs in week one and Keenan Allen in week
one,
night and day.
Yeah.
I would 1,000% prefer Stephon Diggs compared to Keenan Allen.
Yeah, and I think we would probably even sight unseen with Keenan Allen, just based on what we were hearing from Chicago versus what we were seeing every day with Diggs in the middle of July, I think we would have been saying that from the day that camp started, you know, with Diggs and Allen.
I think with Caleb Williams, and it's 1 week, I'm not going to sit here and act like I've decided what he's going to be already in his career, but it's the classic, and we saw this with Bo Nix too, and Bo Nix has other issues on that offense other than himself, but you see sometimes with the really physically gifted and talented players, the quarterbacks in the preseason, you see the plus side of the scouting report because they're doing it versus backups and vanilla defenses. So some of the crazy circus stuff or making plays with their legs, you see that. But there were plays in this Bears game which were very, I went right back to when they played the Bengals and they're playing all the Bengals backups, and There were plays in that game where you're like, all right, that was impressive, but I don't think he does that versus starters.
Right.
I'm watching week one of Caleb Williams, and I'm like, yep, that was the exact same thing he tried to do versus backups, and he got sacked.
Yeah.
He tried to, and this is some of the stupid stuff. He tried to scramble out of pressure on a screen where, like he's a... The offensive linemen are downfield. Like, you can't, like, why are you,
it's
you either
got to
run or throw the ball away. Yeah, once you can't throw and you got to, like, he's running around. And so it ends up being a sack. This is the kind of the stuff that CJ Stroud is more savvy about as a young player. He turned the sack into, even if he had taken a sack, it would have been like a 6 or 7 yard sack. He turned it into like a 17 yard sack because he's running backwards trying to scamper around. No, you either got to run yourself or throw the ball away. And there were a lot of instances of that where he looked like an erratic rookie.
Yeah, I'm excited for Sunday, man. We'll see. It's at 7 right now, the spread. 7.5 is a big one to get to. Like, that's the one.
Yeah.
We're at a number right now.
Over a touchdown.
Yeah,
lead,
it's more than one score. That's a tough one to get to.
I say all that to say this, listeners who will be at the game. Caleb Williams looked a lot like a rookie, but also his offensive line was not helping him at all. The interior offensive line looked like like clowns with three left feet.
Mm.
Like even by clown standards, they were wearing clown shoes.
Right.
Like if you
right.
took a clown and then put extra size clown shoes
right.
on the, or you know what they looked like? They looked like clowns wearing galoshes on their clown shoes.
There you go.
So and so they were trying to. It looked like they were trying to move in clown shoe galoshes.
I need some galoshes on my clown shoes.
Get the noise going early and often, and turn this into an absolute train wreck for the Bears. Yes, it'll mean that we sacrifice Bobby Slowick to the Bears next year if he chooses to take the job. But still,
good call, Seth. Deshaun Watson, here's the latest. The NFL is reviewing an allegation accusing Deshaun Watson of sexual assault and battery, per CBS Sports NFL insider Jonathan Jones. The league, this is the big thing. The league, as of right now, is not considering placing him on the commissioner's exempt list because there are no formal charges, and they've just begun to review the accusations. So the NFL is investigating, and for those just getting up to speed, we know that Deshaun previously sued for varying degrees of assault back in 2021 for various massage setting incidents. Tony Busby was the attorney for all those women back then. He is the attorney for the woman that is suing Deshaun now, who is going under a pseudonym Jane Doe. Busby gave a statement yesterday to CBS Sports. "This is an extremely serious matter. We intend to pursue this case with the same aggressiveness with which we pursued the others. We want a jury trial." Oh, boy. "As far as any specific comments on the facts of the case, we believe the lawsuit speaks for itself." End quote. And this reminds me, too, Seth, it's not happening this time. I remember the first time when the first lawsuit came out back in 2021 in the middle of March from Tony Busby. And it popped up on Instagram one morning. And the reaction was like, all right, well, this happens with athletes all the time. And even Deshaun himself posted on social media like, oh, there's this lawyer who's trying to get money from me. And remember that when the first lawsuit came out years ago?
Yeah.
And it's different this time, man. Like for me, at least, like, okay, like Busby, that Busby's representing this woman is significant to me.
Funny's not the right word to use, but I see in Cleveland, everybody going through the same things we saw here in Houston, the various conspiracy theories now about why the Browns owners have maybe put his contract out there, or like why are they, you know, like this is something that you know would benefit the owners if somehow they're able to void Deshaun Watson's contract. Anything and everything to take away attention from the fact that okay, this is now well over two dozen various instances of this, and Tony Busby isn't involved in all of them. At some point, maybe Deshaun Watson has a little bit to do with this.
Yeah,
this is Now, not that I want to defend Browns ownership or everything. The Haslams are vile, despicable, loathsome. He as a person is. I'll throw his wife in there too.
Yeah,
his wife who's like, as they're standing up trying to say that Deshaun Watson did nothing wrong. She's also pointing out how long it takes for counseling to fix somebody like Deshaun Watson.
So I guess the upshot of all this is Deshaun is going to play. The commissioner's exempt list, for those who don't know what it is, that's where they park players who are being investigated, who have been charged with something criminally. They parked it. Like the Adrian Peterson is probably the most prominent example. When he got charged with abusing his child back in, it's been a decade now. You get put on the commissioner's exempt list while everything's getting hashed out. You get paid while you're on, but you can't play. Deshaun's not going to get put there. Deshaun will be back on the field going 12 for 26 for 118 yards this weekend and two picks like he does every weekend now.
You know what this feels like? Well, whenever a Deshaun Watson thing comes up, whatever feeling it is, when sometimes you ever catch yourself like instinctively like checking to see if you have your mask before you walk into a store from COVID. For a long time, doesn't happen hardly ever, but every now and then I'd still be like, ah, crap, do I need a mask? Like it kind of got burned into you for a little bit there.
Yeah.
Cause it was such a pain in the butt to go back to your car and get your mask.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. I kind of like, oh, I got to do all this same crap.
We actually don't. We can just report on it like it's a news item. It doesn't really affect us here, you know? So that's the latest on Deshaun. Let's get to headlines. Next segment, if you missed it, the Astros lose last night. We'll get into that. Texans begin getting ready for the Chicago Bears. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud later on today. And a whole lot more coming up in headlines. That is next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Might see it from three straight hitters.
Bunts it in the air. Oh, it's dropped by Yiner Diaz. Everybody's going to be safe, maybe. No, they get the out at second, but that was a play that Yiner would have had a double play if he catches it, but he couldn't quite make the play on that bunt up in the air. It's now a 4-2 game.
You know what I just realized, Seth? I'm being hypocritical. I've been poking fun at the Astros all season long for not being able to play small ball and move guys over. I hate bunts. I hate them all. I hate them all. Yeah.
They should ban them.
Ban the bunt.
If there's one thing that I've felt forever for at least the last 12 hours, it's that small ball has no place in modern baseball.
Ban the bunt. Yeah.
Especially teams like the A's that are really good at it.
Yeah.
The Astros are really.
At least those three guys who did it last night are. I don't know. I've been tracking their bunt efficiency. I don't know.
I'm a hypocrite. Honestly, I am a hypocrite, Sean, because honestly, there is a part of me that. You know, like through the years, I've always said, like, yes, it's awesome. It'd be awesome if you had a bunch of guys that could bunt really well. And there's more focus on power these days, and understandably so. Small ball has come back a little bit with the rules changes. But usually what I'll say is, like, it's not as simple as just guys getting up and bunting. It's hard to bunt. But part of that is because nobody actually works at it anymore.
Yeah.
And then you run into a team again, like the A's, that actually put a focus on it. And they do it to the tune of three bunts in a row to win an extra
inning. In the 12th inning, too. It's like, we've been here all night. Can't we win this game like men? Come on.
It feels like if I had hired somebody to do a job, and I'm like, well, okay, can you fix this? Can you fix this for me? And they're like, well, I never learned how to do that. I'm like, yeah, but I hired you to do this.
Yeah.
I hired you to go win a baseball game. And a spot is like, well, we don't really bunt, you know? So now I'm turning into a grumpy old man. In the last 12 hours, I have turned into a grumpy old man that I hate. You know what? I hate the designated hitter, too.
Add that into
the bag, okay?
Okay, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't need to see pitchers hitting again. Don't do that. Astros lose last night, as you can probably tell. If you're just getting in your car, we probably should tell the people the score. 4-3, the final score in 12 innings, 12-inning game, the rare 12-inning game these days. The Astros lose 4-3. Still up by 4.5 in the AL West. The Mariners lose to the Padres last night. And we get the old Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez double dip over the next 2 days. So don't worry, people. Spencer Arrighetti was decent last night, though. That was good to see. That was nice to see after giving up 9 runs in less than an inning last time out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it was Spencer Arrighetti. Okay. Let's do your concern meter.
Okay.
It's a weird question that you wouldn't have forecast before the season. On a game-by-game basis, who are you more worried about? If you had to get 3 games out of Arrighetti or 3 games out of Verlander right this moment?
Oh, in the postseason, you mean? Oh, Verlander, for sure. Right now, this minute,
you're more nervous
at 6:47 a.m. on September 11th.
Arrighetti, I feel like we're going along at he's going to get a clunker every 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
Where with Verlander, we're not sure we're going to see anything but clunkers until he fixes whatever else.
Fixes is the perfect word. Verlander might, not irreparably broken, but he might be broken right now.
He's got a history of fixing his broken mechanics and everything else. It's just, it's a matter of, when did it... That's where, and by the same token, this can swing wildly. If Verlander has 3 quality starts in a row, I'll be like, all right, well, that's... Yeah, I know that Verlander, once he figures it out, is going to be okay. With Arrighetti could pitch 2 no-hitters in a row, and I'm still going to be nervous about that third appearance.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. You just don't know what you're getting. I think that's a good way to frame it, for sure. I guess the only bit of news coming out from the game last night, other than the Astros losing, Chaz McCormick had to leave the game with a wrist issue. He doesn't seem overly concerned about it. He's going to get imaging done today.
No, but we will do imaging tomorrow. Do a little bit today, but more tomorrow. We'll find out more tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it should be okay. It should be 2 days, hopefully. Just sore. Probably be more sore tomorrow.
Chaz kind of weathered the storm, Seth. Remember, he got sent down to Sugarland.
Yeah.
But then I think Jake Myers had to go on paternity leave.
Yeah.
So Chaz, I don't even know that he ever suited up for Sugarland. He got up here, and then he started hitting well, and they're like, I guess you can stay. Sorry, Cesar Salazar and Forrest Whitley. Back to the minors for you. We're keeping we're keeping old Chazzy Mack up here, man.
Figured out how to hit a fastball, which is important in modern baseball.
That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
Text message. I know you guys are being sarcastic, but the Astros should have won that game in the 10th inning that had a runner at second. Yeah, all these games, they have a runner at second in all these extra inning games. They suck in extra innings. I don't know what to tell you. Texans getting ready for the Bears, Sunday Night Football.
To that point, they were 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position.
Never should have gotten to that point in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Like extra innings. They should have taken care of it in regulation, we'll call it. Texans back on the practice field today, getting ready for the Bears on Sunday. The Wednesday, we during the season, always look forward to seeing what the injury report looks like. I'm guessing it's fairly clean. There was no injury news that I can think of coming out of that win over the Colts in week one. The Texans remain a pretty healthy football team right now.
Yeah, they do. Was there a scare? I can't even remember an injury scare in the game.
No, I can't think of one.
Yeah, nobody carted off or anything. So knock on wood, et cetera, et cetera. I was talking to a 49ers fan last night who is, you know, we were talking about the injury stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the 49ers and the Texans, it's obviously a lot of common themes and binds and ties. And one of those things is that they practice really competitively by modern NFL standards. And people in San Francisco have always wondered if sometimes these injuries pop up because they are so physical in practice and everything else and just their style of play. You look at the numbers, and it doesn't actually really look like that. Just with San Francisco, they have some years where they do have a lot of injuries. They have others. So with the Texans had they were one of the most injury beleaguered teams in the league last year. Mm-hmm. They had the most starter games lost to injury of any team in the NFL by a large degree, a large margin. So far, so good. Knock on wood, cross my fingers, all of that. Hopefully that was just random bad luck last year.
Yeah, I guess the big injury that has a lot of people, that you bring up the 49ers, made me think of this, Seth. This Christian McCaffrey injury looks like it's going to linger for a little while.
Well, it's Achilles tendonitis.
Yeah.
It's a chronic condition for a guy who uses Achilles tendon a fair amount.
He does, and very, very well.
Almost every other step.
Yes, that's correct. He uses that
Achilles tendon on 50% of the steps he takes.
He does.
Using that Achilles
until
tendon.
He gets a third leg. That's what it's going to be. This Jordan Mason ran the ball really well, though. I know. It's a third leg.
Yeah, Jordan Mason. That was another thing I was talking to the 49ers fan about. I mean, there is an element of just anybody in a Shanahan/Kubiak/Shanahan system where going back to Terrell Davis and onward, they can take guys who are unheralded players, and if they're executing, if they're blocking the right way, and the 49ers offensive line looks just as good as ever, then they're going to be able to get a lot out of those guys. So.
Yep.
And the Texans offensive line, the way they were run blocking the other day, looked very, very similar to a lot of those great 49ers teams.
It was a fun rewatch, man. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. D'Amico Ryans, CJ Stroud, both meeting with the media today. You'll hear those on Sports Radio 610 later on in the day here. We talked about Deshaun Watson in the previous segment. If you missed that, as of right now, the NFL is not going to put him on the commissioner's exempt list in the wake of a lawsuit that's accusing him of sexual assault. The NFL is investigating it. The Browns and Deshaun himself have not commented on this. Everybody's back in the building today over there. Wednesday is typically the day where quarterbacks do their press conferences, like CJ Stroud today. Do you think that the Browns put Deshaun, are the Browns required to put Deshaun in front of a microphone by league rules?
I think once a week. I believe the quarterbacks have to speak once a
week. Yeah. That's going to be very interesting if that happens today. I'm going to text the people in Cleveland and see if that's happening today.
You sent me a text from a tweet from somebody yesterday where it has things fan bases are cheering for in week two. And it lists pretty much every team in the league saying, I hope my team wins. You know, Chiefs, I hope my team wins. Texans, I hope my team wins. Browns, if Deshaun Watson never disclosed the latest alleged sexual assault incident, we can get out of his contract and save $138 million.
Right.
That's where Browns fans. And we were, I was talking to that 49ers fans as we were sitting next to a guy that was a Browns fan, and I read that tweet.
Yeah.
And he was like, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly where we are with that.
The funny thing about that tweet is it listed four teams saying, I hope we win our game, then had that Browns blurb, then listed the other 27 teams saying, I hope we win our game. The visual was really, really funny. This is all you need to know, really, about the Deshaun situation and where the Browns are at. There was a headline to a story yesterday at 10:10 a.m. Not yesterday, on Monday at 10:10 a.m. on CBSSports.com. Deshaun Watson trade and contract, the worst in NFL history, question mark.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lawsuit came out 4 hours later.
Oh, yeah.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, it was,
there
already.
It was already a topic. Is this the worst contract and trade ever? And then this happens.
Yeah.
Crazy. Just crazy. All right.
He's got a new Bentley, so there's that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or what was that? Was it a Maybach? Whatever it was, whatever car he was putting on Instagram
tax
a couple
bracket.
Weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure. All right, those are your headlines. Payne and Pendergast with you. Into the 7 o'clock hour we go. It's really fun to hear the national media talk about two of the biggest elements of the Texans' win on Sunday against the Colts. These two things have everybody very frustrated around the NFL, particularly in Indianapolis. We'll let you hear that. Coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.